This is the Tech Talk podcast from RNIB. Tech Talk.
Geek out.
Geek out.
Hello, welcome to Tech Talk Geek Out. I'm Stephen Scott. He's Sean Preece. Hello.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to Geek Out. It's our chill out bit. I've got my feet up on the table. That's how chilled out I am.
I do feel cool with that music, I must say.
I do. I think I'm about to take this fleece off in a moment, I tell you. Right, so Geek Out, what's it all about? Well, this is the first one. And basically, this is a place where we're going to talk about the geeky side of tech. You know, on Tech Talk, every week we talk about the merits of accessible technology, and we will continue to do that here on Geek Out. But we're going to get into the specifications, and we're going to get into all the bits that Sean and I tend to talk about off-air. We kind of thought, let's not talk about it off-air anymore. Let's just talk about it on a new podcast we'll make, because we're kind of both geeks. I mean, you're a big geek. You're a bigger geek
exactly.
than me.
Exactly. And there's a lot of us out there as well. You know, we want to know what's the specs. What CPU is it running? How much RAM has it got? You know, exactly. These are the things that, if you're a geek, you love this stuff.
Yeah. So this week on Geek Out, and, you know, these will be as regular as... Well, we feel they need to be, quite frankly, because, you know, geeking out comes from the heart. It really does. And in my case, you know, I have spent a bit of money in the past week and a half, which kind of prompted a lot of this. I went out and got myself a new iMac and a new iPhone and a new subscription to a new TV service. How have I any money left? I've no money left.
I know. Hey, I am so jealous. You are, I don't know, you're like Rockefeller.
Yeah, but you know what? Guess what I forgot?
What?
Valentine's Day.
Oh, no. Oh. iMac, surely.
Yeah, well, that's
the most romantic gift of all.
Actually, I said to my wife, I said, well, I got a Sky Q. And, you know, she was quite happy about that.
She's, oh, she's well a bit done, of a geek sir. As well. What I a know, dodge. Smart well
move.
Done.
Smart move. Always thinking, that's me. So, yeah, let's kick things off then, because the iMac that I got, and I just want to talk a little bit about that, because I love this iMac. I really love this iMac. I have a tendency, and people who know me well know that I tend to buy stuff and then sell it about 10 minutes in. I don't know why, I just do. And it's just one of those things. I think sometimes, you know, you get kit, and even Apple, even the wonderful Apple, you know, can sometimes disappoint. Case in point, the Mac Mini. Wasn't impressed. Really wasn't
now,
impressed.
I'm surprised by that. I love my Mac Mini. I think it's the most accessible, the most... it's the entry level into the Mac ecosystem when you're talking about the Mac computers anyway.
Yeah, but it's cheap. That's why you like it.
Well, exactly. You are not wrong. I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, I've got one, and you say it's cheap. The one I've got, I can't remember what year it's from. It was the last one they did. It's an i7 processor, 250 gig SSD. That was nearly £1,000.
No, hang on. That's different, right, because the one I got was the entry-level one, which had 500 gig hard drive in it, and it was an i5, I think. No, actually, the processor was okay. I think it was the fifth or sixth generation i5. And, yeah. You know, I think we're getting to a point where, you know, and the geeks are going to hate me for saying this, but, you know, it's getting to a point where it doesn't really matter anymore. No, it does. It's getting to that point. You get a... If you can pick up, as I did once, I picked up a Dell D610, which was one of the kind of stalwarts, I guess. It was a Latitude series. Quite a stalwart of the working world for a long time. You can pick them up for like £30 now, and you can stick an SSD in that. You can run Windows 10 on it, and it's great. That was a Core 2 Duo.
Really? And, man, I haven't heard that in a while, the Core 2 Duo.
Oh, you know, and those are actually okay. Now, with Windows, that's fine. Mac is different, because Mac ages very quickly, and you find that if you have a Core 2 Duo, say even an old iMac... I mean, you can buy like Emacs now. Remember those, the Emacs?
No, it was before my time.
Oh, no, they're not that old. They were the ones in the schools. They were the E for education, really.
No, I do. Yeah, I do know what you mean.
It was like the step up from the old Bubble Mac, the one that this, yes. The one, the really popular one, the first iMac. Yeah. that the Emac kind of followed that, and you know, you can get them, but they don't work so well. They certainly don't carry the software, because the software will work up to a point. So if you've got a 2007, my dad's got a 2007 iMac at the moment, 20-inch, and it's kind of at that borderline now where he's going to have to think about upgrading it. It's 10 years old, but it's...
Well, that is the thing with the Apple products, though. I mean, they have no qualms in just, right, I'm leaving that behind now.
Yeah,
you know, that is difference. Gone. I'm cutting you off, and that's gone. That's yesterday.
But this one, so I picked this one up. I actually got it second hand. The guy who sold me it bought it on a whim. He said, not interested in this. Don't know why I bought it. So he stuck it up on a popular site that, you know, people buy things from.
Auction site, should we say, yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't an auction one. No, it wasn't an auction site. It was one of those other ones. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, he bought it, pulled it out of the box, looked at it, put it back in the box and left it there. So it's never been used.
Oh, come on. That's what the salesman said. Only one previous owner, a little old lady. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, little old lady owned the 21-inch iMac. But I had a look at it, and you know that I am quite fussy when buying. I don't often buy secondhand because, you know, I don't like the idea of other people's grubby fingers all over it. And it always amazes me when people are selling these things that, you know, iMacs, for example, with big bumps on the side. How did that happen? You do realise it's a computer and not a football.
And this isn't the cheapest piece of kit in the world. You think, you know, you take so much care over it.
Yeah, you're not going to boot it up and down the street. Well, at least I don't think you should. So anyway, had a look at it and I had a look through the specs. And initially there was one thing that stood out for me that I thought, oh no, not again. Because this was what happened with the Mac Mini. I'll run through the specs. 21.5-inch iMac with Retina 4K display. Wow. That was impressive, first of all. Hadn't seen this for
magnification.
Well, I'll get to that. But yeah, you're right. That's what I didn't necessarily think that at the start, but I thought it would certainly help. Because anyone who's got a MacBook Air and has tried magnification on it, you've probably noticed it's not great with Zoom. It really isn't great. It's very fuzzy. It's very hard to see because they don't have... What's that name of that text? Is it ClearType?
ClearType font, yeah. Whatever it is.
Because Zoom text, for example, brilliant when you zoom it up. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
But you don't get that with a Mac. Anyway, so that was a concern. But I thought with 4K, that might make a difference. 21.5-inch screen, beautiful. 3.1 gigahertz quad-core i5. Apparently goes up to 3.6. I've never really understood how that works. Someone can tell me one day what this turbo boost thing's all about. I don't get it.
Well, if it needs the extra power, it's just got it in reserve. It can overclock itself almost on the fly. So, you know, if it's 100% usage, say, it can, you know, push itself a little bit further.
Right.
I don't actually understand why they don't just, you know, sort of leave it open anyway to take into it. I think it's all to do with thermal throttling and then trying to control the temperature and the power usage as well, trying to keep the power usage as low as possible.
The temperature's a big thing, isn't it? Because you don't want the thing heating up too much. And
yeah,
they
that's
do
right.
heat up
yeah.
actually quite much, you know, especially being aluminium or whatever it is they're made of.
Yes.
Heats up like, you know, nobody's business. Anyway, that 3.1 gigahertz there, 8 gig of RAM, fine. Then comes the hard drive. 1 terabyte, you think, good, okay. SSD, no, it's just a hard drive. 5,400 RPM.
Yeah, I mean, just hearing any RPM now on when it comes to a hard drive, you think, really? God, it's like going back to vinyl in music terms.
It's a 33 or a 45,
We've been here before, but the difference an SSD makes is so incredible to a system. You know, these, I get loads of cheap, you know, laptops, like you say, Core 2 Duos or whatever, stick an SSD in them and they're actually usable. Just, you know, that, from that one change. And that is, you know, before SSDs come out, you had to change CPUs and get more memory to make any difference. But SSDs compared to normal mechanical hard drives, the difference is night and day.
Okay, but if I walk into PC World and pick up any laptop, I mean, I don't know if this is the case across the board. It is something I'm taking more notice of now, I must admit. But I would probably bet a tenner that most of them will have a 7200 RPM hard drive in it, not a 5400.
Whoa, big spender, a tenner. yes, they would, but you won't find one now with an mechanical hard drive in it. They're all going to have SSD. Some of them do have like a 250 gig SSD and a 1 terabyte external mechanical hard drive as well.
No, hang on. I mean, you get a lot of these cheaper laptops. I mean, say you go to PC World, you're going to pick up a cheap laptop, 300 quid, say. You're not going to get an SSD in that.
Oh, no, I disagree. For a long time, I haven't seen a mechanical hard drive in a laptop, even the budget ones. I mean, I get by with 128 gig SSD. That's all I ever use on mine. I do have 220 gig in my Mac Mini, a 250, but I've got it boot camped. One side is Windows. I use 120 something on that, and the other side is Mac.
Right.
With external drives and pen drives being so cheap and massive, you know, I've got nearly 16 terabytes of external hard drive space I could use. So for me, I don't need, I'd rather get the SSD performance.
But you're missing my point.
I will look on the big computer stores and see.
Seriously, do it.
I don't think so. I think HDDs have gone.
No, they're not completely gone. I think you're right. I mean, most computers now, serious computers, if you like, they are going to have an SSD in them. But I think your budget ones still have your common garden. And actually, in some respects, it's good because you can get a 1 terabyte drive in a cheap computer. So you get more space, but you're forfeiting speed. The point I'm making here is 5400 RPM drive in a 2015 machine, as this machine is. It's 2015, early 2015. That is just insane. And this was exactly the problem I had with the Mac Mini, or at least so I thought. Because when I got the Mac Mini, it had a 5400 RPM in it. I think it was 500 gig. And it was awful to use. I mean, you know, it was, I think if I'd been able to go back to a previous version of the Mac operating system, I might have been okay. But with this new version, the latest version, Sierra, it just couldn't cope. Just couldn't cope with it.
Yeah. So it probably, when it was released, it probably came out with Snow Leopard or something
exactly.
That, in which case it was absolutely fine. Yeah.
And maybe that's the answer. Maybe I just have to roll back on those machines. But it just seemed a bit, okay. But here's the thing. So I'll go through the rest of the specs in a minute. But when I actually got it home, booted it up, got it going, half expected exactly the same thing. You know what? It's as fast as you like.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
It's interesting. Yeah, why would that be?
Why is it the same drive?
What was the memory in the Mac Mini?
Four gig.
4 gig, I mean, yeah.
And it was an i5, a couple of years older. But no, actually, it probably wasn't. It was probably the same age, actually. So I don't understand it. I don't understand why the iMac is lightning fast. I mean, there's a bit of drag on it. You say you open up settings, for example. There's maybe 1 or 2 seconds. But that's nothing like it was on the Mac Mini. It was unusable to some degree. I just don't get it. And I know that we could swap out the 1 terabyte. I could get shot of it and put in an SSD. And I can't imagine how fast it would go then. Maybe it's to do with the processor. It is a bigger processor, but...
Well, maybe it is purely to do with the hard drive, you know, itself. Maybe there is some sort of a lot of bad sectors on there. Is it grinding away a lot, or...?
It was brand new when I got it, Sean. Brand new.
The Mac Mini was brand new.
I don't get it. So my gripe is there something that they're doing with the Mac Mini that's making it not stand out? And I don't understand why, because if the answer is the hard drive, and you would have thought it was the hard drive... But as soon as I started using this iMac, I thought, this is flying. And I was really, really impressed with it.
You can just feel the difference, can't you? You can feel that smoothness of something that's just working. It's really hard to explain. It's something you sort of feel.
And I know you're probably wondering about the Retina 4K. If you ask nicely, I'll tell you.
Thanks.
Yeah. It is utterly amazing. I have never seen a screen like it. I will now go blind using this screen because it's so bright. And I don't care. Because
you've got your nose against it as well.
Yeah, I just love it. It is so clear. It is so bright. It's so colourful. You know, I'm colourblind and I'm seeing colours I've never seen before. It's curing my colourblindness every day. Well, I mean, it's the wrong colours. Yeah,
the Apple displays are amazing. If you've got enough vision to use them, I mean, it does make a difference. I use magnification, high contrast. I do rely on a screen reader, but I still do use, you know, magnification. And a nice display, even on a small... I've used an 11-inch MacBook Air, but with the screen, it's a nice experience.
It is really nice. Let me run through some of the other specs, and this maybe gives you an indication of a couple of other things. I mean, we talked about the hard drive, and actually I think there's another thing here that might be in the way with the Mac Mini versus this. And I know we're kind of putting an Apple next to a, you know, Rolls Royce or analogy you want to use. But, you know, graphics is a big thing, because graphics is on board with a Mac Mini, at least the one I got. So that would have been sharing off that 4 gig. So that's interesting.
Yes.
This one obviously has its own card in it, an Intel Iris Pro Graphics 6200, which is considerably better than what was in the Mac Mini.
Well, hang on, no. Is that a separate discrete graphics card? I thought the Iris Pro was part of the i5 internal CPU graphics card.
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I wouldn't have thought so. Not with a 4K, not running a 4K screen off it, surely.
No, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I forgot the 4K. Yeah, that's pushing it a little bit.
Yeah, remember, it is 4K, just to remind you of that. Also, FaceTime HD camera built in. Nice. Okay, I mean, you know, whatever. It's for Skype. Pff, who cares? Two Thunderbolt 2 ports, supporting, obviously, mini DisplayPort devices as well. Yeah, fine. SD card slot, which I thought actually was quite good. I was quite pleased to see that still there. And four USB 3 ports. Impressive.
Well, that's what you need. The USB is the thing for me.
Yeah, this is where it wins over a MacBook for me. You know, it's just a perfect desktop for that. You know, to get rid of all that would just be pointless. And I do fear what they're going to do in the future with iMac. So I'm kind of glad I got this one when it was here. Ethernet port, of course. Again, that's something which you don't see much of these days. It was good to see that still in there. Stereo speakers, which aren't bad. I mean, you know, you're always going to want better speakers. They're okay.
Yeah.
Dual microphones. Don't really know why there's dual microphones in it. And a good old headphone port. That is unusual.
Yay!
Yeah. Obviously, it had... it's got the 802.11ac Wi-Fi, so you get better coverage.
Oh, right. I'm quite surprised by that. No, that's good, yeah.
And Bluetooth 4, which is fairly standard nowadays. And the brand new, lovely Apple Magic Keyboard and Apple Magic Mouse 2.
Ah, now how are you finding them?
Well, first of all, I was trying to figure out what the difference was between the Apple keyboard and the Apple Magic keyboard. I didn't realise that, because I was actually spending a lot of time rooting around the floor looking for batteries that might have fallen on the floor, to then learn that there actually are no batteries required, because it all hooks up with a lightning cable. I was a bit confused as to why there was a lightning cable in amongst it all. And then eventually it kind of clicked. And I didn't realise the mouse was the same. So the mouse and it both live off a lightning cable, which is fantastic. The keyboard.
But does that mean they charge? They recharge?
Yes, or
they
just, that's right.
Yes.
So you recharge off it. So you could leave it plugged in if you wanted. But you'd clearly be insane. The keyboard is lovely. I mean, it is fab. At first, I thought, I'm not going to like this keyboard. Didn't think it was going to be for me. Yeah. I started typing some emails and I fell in love with it. And I thought, I want one of these for my Toshiba laptop at work. It was just so lovely.
And funnily enough, I had exactly the same experience with my keyboard I got with my Mac Mini, a lovely small slimline wireless Apple keyboard. And I thought, oh, I'm not sure about this. I'm so used to a full-size Windows keyboard. But I love it. And all my keyboards now I use for Windows or Mac, they're all the Mac-style, small laptop-style keyboards. I'm just so used to them.
All my keyboards, he says. All my keyboards.
I've got keyboards all over the house for everything, yeah.
I tend to just buy a lot of keyboards. I've become a bit like... A long time ago, I used to love buying stationery. I don't know why, but I did. And now it's...
Oh, that is weird.
No,
I mean,
I don't mind
being nerdy, but buying stationery...
Yeah, come on. I mean, how crazy am I? But yeah, this was amazing. This keyboard is lovely, and it beats all the rest. It really does. Could do with being backlit. That's my only complaint, especially for the cost. What, 80 quid or something they want for it? Nearly 100 quid? And the Magic Trackpad is 120. What?
I know, they are expensive. But hang on. You're a touch typist, surely.
I am, yeah. So, you know, that obviously helps, you know. That's one of the
Does
gifts.
It really?
Of,
I never really understood backlit if you're a touch typist. Why?
Well, it's not so much the normal keys. It's trying to find the other things like volume up and down or, you know, a number. I've never been very good at finding numbers on the keyboard. I know you can feel the way along and all that, but sometimes these keyboards are so flat, it's very hard to identify, you know, on touch.
Yeah. It always takes a couple of days to get used to a new keyboard anyway.
So that is it. So, you know, I got it. I have to tell you, I'm in love with it. I think it's great. And this one is not going back.
Now, you say that, Stephen. You say that now. How long have you had it?
Oh, I had it 3 days. So, you know, we'll give it time.
Right. Okay. So you're usually a Windows guy. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not. I mean, to be fair, I use Windows at work because I have to.
Are you being more productive at work? Are you using your Mac purely for, leisure at home?
Yeah, I am. But for a long time, there was a piece of software that I used called Adobe Edition, which is the editing software we use here at the radio station. And I've used it for so long on the PC that I've just never bothered to learn anything else. Had I, and if I decide to go down the route of moving over to something else like Reaper, and I know you can get Adobe Edition now on the Mac, actually, then that may change things, because that's the only thing really that holds me there. And also because I work in a corporate environment, I'm not entirely sure how well it translates over using Windows, you know, as opposed to using Mac.
Yeah.
The Exchange side of things is actually okay. We can kind of say that's fine. But it's the other side of things. It's like we use certain software for finance and it doesn't really translate very well. So
yeah,
it's not a choice for me. If I had an option at work, if I had a choice to work on a Mac or a PC, it would be a Mac.
Well, look, it's fair to say as well that you are still more visual than screen reader based when you're using a computer.
Yeah, and more so on the Mac because, again, the experience is better. With those graphics, it's so much brighter and easier to see. Whereas I find Windows computers, they're just a bit cheap.
Yeah, I do understand what you mean.
And I don't mean that they're all rubbish. I mean, I'm not saying they're all rubbish. They're not, actually. There's some brilliant PCs out there with great screens. But, you know, that's not the ones that companies buy, let's be honest.
No.
Just isn't.
Well, what I'm more intrigued about, I know we're probably going off on a tangent here, but you had my dream laptop. You had a Dell XPS 13.
Yep.
I mean, that is the one I dream about. It's got the top specs. I mean, you can have a Kaby Lake in there, processor. It's, you know, it's not cheap, but it's beautiful. Now, you had this one, and you got rid of it, and now you're running an iMac.
Yeah, and, you know, it was the Dell XPS that forced me to it, because Dell XPS is great, but what's happened with Dell, I have no idea. You know, to me, it has been... I know it's been voted the best laptop ever, you know, from every single point of view. It's like Cheryl Cole, you know, has been the most beautiful lady since the dawn of time.
Adele is the Beyonce of the laptop world.
Exactly, that's it, yeah. And, you know, I get all that, but it's, you know, usability is a different thing. Functionality and the options that it presents, yes, they all look lovely, but try using it and I guarantee you won't enjoy it. And here's why, because the software is not developed enough. I actually think the biggest problem with the Dell XPS 13 is it's way ahead of its time. And I hoped that it would grow into itself by this point, and it hadn't. And what I mean by that is it uses USB-C technology. So I had a USB-C dock that went with it, and it never worked properly. You had days where it wouldn't function, it would cause problems, it had endless graphics issues that were constantly having to be resolved, issues with audio. I had so many problems with it having, it was like a weird whistling noise that was coming from it. It was as if there was a driver that had just gone wrong, or even the speaker itself was wrong. So many issues with it. Windows 10 didn't like it very well, there were constant updates coming out. The updates would often cause more problems. And I thought, you know, I'm fed up with this. And it's exactly that analogy I said earlier. You know, when you're driving down the road and it's a Monday morning, you can only get an inch at a time. And, you know, when you finally get there, you hate everybody. You know, that was how I felt. Whereas the Mac, I turned it on and within 10 seconds, I'm doing stuff rather than trying to find ways to get to the point so I can actually do something. So by the end of it, I gave up on it. I thought, I've tried, it's tried my patience more than anything else, and I just couldn't be bothered. And I thought, you know, this is not going anywhere. The technology is good, but in 5-10 years' time, perhaps, I think it's too early.
See, I find that interesting because this one actually wasn't the latest one either, was it? This was running a Skylake processor.
Yeah, and do you know something? This is the interesting bit. So it was an i7 processor, 7th gen. I think it was 7th gen, I'm sure it was. As you say, Skylake. And my i5 iMac with its 1 terabyte poor 5400 RPM drive, as opposed to its 512 SSD, just couldn't marry up, in my view. It struggled with things, and it seemed to be struggling with them not because of the processor, but because of the software. I think that the technology that actually was inside the machine just wasn't being able to be exploited, and this is why I say I think it's ahead of its time.
Yeah, you still think there are some driver issues there?
Oh, there was. Well,
obviously,
display drivers, and you know, add JAWS to the mix, it just didn't have a clue.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a nightmare, actually. And in the end, I had to get rid of JAWS, move to Narrator, which thankfully had picked up a bit. But you know, that's not the way you want to do things. So yeah. I know I'm not alone. I know that, you know, a lot of people out there have bought these machines and, you know, are getting on with it, these Ultrabooks. And interestingly, a couple of people I know who got them said the same thing, that they had a bit of setup to do to get them to work, and they still do. It just depends how much patience you've got for it. In the end, I want to do stuff, and yeah, I don't want to spend my time updating and changing. I'm just tired of it. I'm bored of it. I want to do things with my computer.
And well, that is the thing. That is, Apple does have that reputation of, you know, it just works. I just want to get stuff done. Yeah. And Apple, rightly or wrongly, they do have that reputation.
Yeah, exactly.
So you would say rightly, I guess.
Yeah, of course I would. So that is my experience of the
iMac. If I get a new machine, I will wipe it. I will reinstall Windows 10 fresh and download fresh drivers and take it from there. Because just in case there's any bloatware or anything I don't want on there. So I will always wipe it and see what the experience is, you know, fresh.
Tech Talk.
Geek Out.
Geek Out.
Right, let's talk about phones. I think this is an interesting one for me because I've got an iPhone 6 that I use at work, and I was getting a bit of itchy feet, to be honest, Sean.
All right, ready for the Android? I like it.
Oh, well, not quite. Although,
I threw you under the bus there.
Although, I have got an Android, actually, that I'm playing with at the moment. So what I did was I got myself, on my own personal contract, I got myself a new iPhone 7 Plus. 128 gig.
Ooh, the Plus.
In silver. I was tempted to go jet black, but the fingerprint thing, everyone was talking about fingerprints. I thought, nah, you're all right. They get covered in fingerprints anyway, so it's bad enough.
Yes, right.
So I got the silver one, 128 gig. Was tempted by the 256, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but I went for 128 in the end. I thought that would probably do the job. So what I did was I took my old SIM out of my iPhone 6 and put it into an Android phone, a Samsung JS, which I got on loan from RNIB to talk, actually on Tech Talk, about Synaptic. It's given me an opportunity to learn a bit about it, and it has actually forced me into the world of Android a little bit. So far, it's not quite wanting to be flung at the window, but I'll talk more about that in a few weeks' time when I know more about
That's
it.
That's not a glowing report.
No, it's not. I don't want to throw it out the window yet.
Not quite.
Give
nearly.
It time.
Not
give
quite.
It time. But yeah, so this one, lovely. And, you know, we could talk all day about the specs, and let's be honest, you know, even as geeks, we kind of know the majority about it. 5.5-inch screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's an LCD screen, though. A lot of them now are coming out with OLED or LED, and, you know, that's one thing which I think we'll see a difference in the new one. Certainly that's the rumour mill is going, that the new iPhone this year.
It's got to be. They've got to go LED, OLED at some point. They're getting left behind. Yeah. The rumor is that there's going to be actually three models in the next release at the end of this year. Two, which will be LCD, and the actual iPhone 8, which will be OLED. I don't know how true that is, but knowing Apple, that could be the case.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the one thing, I mean, I must admit, I do like a new phone. And, you know, it's got some great stuff in it. The A10 chip, which I think is better than the iPad Pro. Or at least the same as, if not.
I'm not actually sure. I don't know.
The A9X chip, is it not the A9X or the... I'm sure it was the A9X that was in the iPad Pros. But the A10 chip is inside the iPhone 7 Plus, and it looks really nice. In terms of camera, 12 megapixel, again, not much. You think 12 megapixel these days? That doesn't seem that far forward. But it's got wide-angle and telephoto cameras in it, which is interesting. This is this new... It's got two cameras in it, hasn't it? So, you know, you get these pictures where you can do proper depth of field and stuff. So that's quite good. Quad LED True Tone flash. Yeah, good for selfies, I guess. I don't really know. I'm not fussed about that because actually...
For those hundreds of selfies we take.
Yeah, exactly, or not. it's not actually the camera for pictures that I'm interested in, to be honest. It's video. That's what I'm interested in. And in a previous life, I was a videographer before my eyes got rubbish, and or really rubbish. And I love doing all that. But with things like with the iPhone, you don't need to have the same level of understanding as you did when I was using big broadcast cameras. You know, the kind of level of knowledge is very different. You know, you can point and shoot with these things. But it's got 4K video recording at 30 frames per second. I mean, that is fabulous.
Yeah, it is.
And
it
again...
is. I really like the slow motion feature as well. They've got that down. It's so nice.
So nice. And, you know, you've got that. And, you know, with a 4K retina display, fantastic. I just wish I had a 4K telly. I have to get one of those next.
I just wish I had 4K eyes.
Well, I know. I kind of wonder, what am I looking at? Oh, I can only see in 2K. Right, okay. Oh, well, that's that then. But yeah, all the usual stuff, optical image stabilization for video, and same with the pictures as well, slow-mo video support as well. Interestingly, the slow-mo video support not for 4K, only for the 1080 and 720p.
Yeah.
Interesting. Time-lapse as well, though, that's nice. Cinematic video stabilization, again, not for 4K, only for 1080 and 720p. I think a lot of this is going to come in time. Continuous autofocus, that's something that wasn't available before. You had to pick your focus before you started in the video and that was it. You couldn't change. Now you can. Through the course of a video, you can change the focus on it.
Yeah.
You can take still photos. This is something to do with DSLRs. You can take pictures while you're recording 4K video, but they're only 8 megapixel stills. I don't understand why.
Yeah, that's slightly strange, but I mean... megapixels and resolutions now are slightly less relevant than they used to be in the early days, so I don't worry about it too much.
Yeah. Of course, it's got the Touch ID in it. It's got Apple Pay built in, all that kind of stuff, all the usual stuff, GPS, assisted GPS, digital compass, the Wi-Fi, cellular, iBeacon microlocation. Now, this is kind of where it gets into our world, because iBeacons are something that will come in, I think, in the next few years big time. And this is indoor GPS, isn't it? So you've got...
Well,
that.
That's what we keep hearing. I hope so. But it has been a few years now since iBeacons were released, and we haven't seen much of them.
I think they're coming. I think it's one of those things that's going to take a long time to get to that point.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I think that's the thing with Apple, though. I think they are... Like the dual camera on the i7, at the moment, to be honest, I don't see much point in it. Even if you are into your photography, I don't see it as a great... plus or benefit. But I think later on, when we start getting to 3D mapping and depth of field, navigation and things like that, which I think the next generation of iPhones are going to have, I think it's very much they set the foundations in place and they know exactly where they're going on the roadmap. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Of course, another thing for me is power. And I've been very impressed with the battery on this. Apparently, it says on the Apple website it will last up to 1 hour longer than the iPhone 6S Plus. Well, I had the 6 Plus, and it was okay. I actually was quite impressed. It's given me about a day and a half, which is quite a lot considering the way I use it.
It is a huge phone, let's be fair. The Pluses are massive.
They are big, and, you know, the screens they're driving are big. And, you know, okay, sometimes when I'm out and about, I switch the screen off, and I only live on voice. But even that is still, you know, using its processor. So
but using screen curtain can save you so much battery power. Never used to be the case because it would always just black the screen and keep the lamp on. But now, if you turn the screen curtain on, you will, you know, see a massive battery increase.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, all the accessibility features would be a standard voiceover, zoom, magnifier, city, of course, and dictation as well. The one thing I've found on the show, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago on TikTok, the speak screen function, really nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and, you know, great apps as well. One thing that I kind of forgot about, and I feel bad about this, and maybe I shouldn't say this on TikTok. In fact, this would probably be any excuse. If someone was wanting to get rid of me from this program, this would be the good excuse.
I'm waiting for any excuse, Stephen.
Well, if you want to take over, this is the day, because guess what I forgot about when I got this?
I can't think. What did you forget?
Well, what was the big hoo-ha last year when this phone came out amongst the
people? Not the headphone jack. How can you forget?
So I spent about 5 minutes thinking I was going crazy trying to find the headphone jack on it. And then it just sort of occurred to me, oh, hang on, it's the iPhone 7 Plus. It doesn't have a headphone jack.
You know, the
jack.
Pieces of audio and the listener questions we were doing for that time when the iPhone 7 was released.
You know that way that nothing's a problem until it happens to you? Well,
yes.
That was my experience at that point. I went into a fit of rage about it. I was about to, you know, email in this program. This is an absolute disgrace. But yeah, that was, I have to say, it's a great phone. I think it's a really nice phone. I think the camera is what swings it for me more than anything else. I think it is a great phone for the moment. If you've got a 6S Plus, don't upgrade. Don't bother. It's not worth it. You're not going to get that much of a difference. I'd hold on.
Definitely.
If you've got a 6, different story. If you've got a 5C, just bin it and buy this. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, why would you? If you've got an SE.
Save the planet.
Recycle it. All right. If you've got an SE, then I think you're probably on a par because you've chosen a smaller phone. And it does a lot of the same things because the SE has 4K in it and it's got some lovely features.
The SE is the VI choice.
It's the blind person's phone. I think
it's
for a
fantastic.
Partially sighted person, 6 or 7S Plus, yes. Or 7 Plus, I should say. But as for the blind audience, yeah, I think the SE is the winner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got all the power there. I would have gone for the SE. I got the 6S, but I would have gone for the SE if it was at the same time, because the power is exactly the same. The performance is exactly the same. All you're losing is the Force Touch, which I don't use anyway.
Yeah, I don't understand the point of Force Touch. It's a bit of a gimmick for me. I don't get it.
Yeah, again, I think it's something they're putting in place, the foundations for something that will come in later on, you know, when they actually totally remove the button.
That's the other thing, the home button, because the home button is gone in the 7. I mean, there is no home button. I mean, there's a haptic feedback in a segment of the screen. It's
How'd you
not
find
a button.
That?
Well, I have to tell you, it is the most bizarre thing. I read a review about it before I got the phone, and it said when you actually hold your finger over the Touch ID, you will feel like you're pressing a button. Your brain genuinely believes that. And you know that way you think, yeah, that never happens to me.
I never believe that.
It's like these guys on these hypnotic shows, you know, they go on and they start barking like a dog, and you think, oh, that would never happen to me, and then I'm the guy that's barking like a dog. This is incredible. You would swear you are pressing a button. You're actually clicking a button. It's exactly like how it feels.
Really? I'm surprised by that. I've heard people say that it's a bit too exaggerated.
Well, you can change it. You can actually change that exact thing. So if you've got 3 settings for the click. You can change your click in 3 different settings. So you can have a soft click or a medium click or a harder click. Depends on what you want. The harder click does feel exaggerated. The middle one is actually fine. I'd say that's the perfect. It just feels like you're pressing a button. It feels like the whole screen is actually clicking. It's an incredible feeling. Amazing how they do it.
I'd never quite understand the difference between haptic, taptic, and just a vibration. You know, I mean, for me, it's all the same thing. I'm not quite sure what the difference is there, if it's just the latest buzzword that's come in.
Yeah, I don't know either. I really don't. I don't know the difference. I know that, you know, that the Apple Watch was where I kind of first found it. And, you know, wasn't massively impressed, but this is good. This is really, really clever, and it's a really nice little feature. When you go through tickers, you know, when you go through the little ticker boxes to get to, say, a date, you're making a date or you're picking a date off the calendar, and you're rolling through the months, the thing will actually buzz as it rolls around, and it's actually quite smart.
It does feel like a almost like a dial clicking,
is
it?
Yeah, it is incredible.
That is pretty impressive. Yeah, I'd like to try that.
So, yeah. So there you go. iPhone 7 Plus.
The elephant in the room, though, with this, the headphone jack, missing headphone jack. So has that been an issue?
Well, it's got the earpods with the Lightning connector on it. I haven't been in a situation yet where I'm going to need them, but I have got a Bluetooth headset. It's kind of forcing me to charge it up and start using it.
Right.
No, I don't think it's going to be a problem, to be honest. It's not something I'm concerned about at this point. You've got the Lightning adapter to 3.5mm jack in there. So, you know, if you want to, if you really must use your old earphones, then you can do that. But no, I don't think it's a big problem. I'm actually looking at a new pair of headphones I want to talk about and geek out soon if I decide to buy them. It's the new Beats X range.
Ah, very
and
nice.
These
yeah,
are the ones
with the W1 chip.
That's right. They've got the W1 chip, which means they automatically sync up to not just your iPhone, but to your iMac and everything else. So you have one pair of headphones for everything. These are just little in-ear earphones. They're kind of going up against the AirPods. They're cheaper than the AirPods. AirPods, what, 169, 159?
Yep.
And then compare that to these things, which are 129. And they're coming
surprisingly
out...
Surprisingly enough, they're both from Apple.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people are thinking, why are Beats not just taking over the whole headphone side of Apple and just made it better? And a lot of people have been very critical of the headphones that Apple have included. And you know, even making these AirPods are not apparently as good as you might think.
Very lukewarm so far. I mean, people do like them initially. The actual convenience of them, I think the idea of these wireless headphones actually works, you know.
Yeah.
Not having that cable there does make a difference, but... so far people have tended, the Bluetooth connection issues are still there apparently, even with the W1 chip, drop calls and a bit of lagging.
Well, the Beats X do have the cable, they are tethered, they go behind your head, and actually it's quite nice because it's kind of built, someone said it's a bit like an expensive pipe cleaner, that was how it was described.
Hang on, when you say that, you mean they're just tethered together, they're still wireless to the...
Yes, that's right. They're wireless to the device, but they're wired. The two earphones or earbuds are actually still attached
together,
to each other.
Yes,
yeah. And they've got a nice little case, and they magnetically connect, so you don't have the issue of them all rolling up and getting tangled. Oh, it's very nice by the sounds of it. $129, not bad price. So yeah, I'm going to try them out, and if they're good, then fab. That'll be the next thing. So we'll talk more about that on Tech Talk Geek Out, I'm sure, very soon.
Tech Talk
Geek Out.
Geek out.
Right, one more thing. Just a quick note on Sky Q. So I decided to get Sky Q because, well, you know, I just kind of wanted it. Basically, my wife wants to watch Coronation Street in bed. And there are other ways to
do it. Who doesn't?
Well, exactly.
It's the dream.
It is the dream. It's like, well, you know, why not? Let's live the life of middle-class people with working-class money. Yeah, basically, we're going to get Sky Plus in, Sky Q, I should say. One point of note, though, that I learned about Sky Q. You know that a lot of us tend to use the Sky Plus app at the moment to find programs, record stuff, and even control the box. Well, you can do some of those features with Sky Q, but one thing you cannot do with the new Sky Q app is control the boxes. So if you have used the Sky Plus app to record, or not so much record, but to use the box to change channels or to find out what's on a channel or whatever it is you would use the remote function for, that's enabled when you go into the Sky Plus app, that feature will not be available in Sky Q. Now, I don't know how much of a difference that'll make to people, but it seems a bit of a shame.
It's enough to be a worry, I think.
I think so. I think it's something we need to be conscious of when you're making that choice. Because, you know, I've often done it. I used to have, a while back, one of those little senders, you know, the AV senders. And I'd plug it into the back of the Skybox, and I would, you know, it would just basically go up to the top room, and that was how I watched Sky, and I'd control the Skybox in the living room with the Sky Remote app. And that worked really well. But all that will go. And it's probably because it's multi-screen and it is a bit more of a convoluted system, so maybe it's not as easy to use the app for that. I'll be interested to try it, and I will be reviewing it. I'm really keen to see what the menus are like, because I haven't seen any of this at all, and I have worries about the size of the text, whether or not it will be usable. It's not certainly accessible in the sense that there's no speech on these boxes, on any of the Sky boxes. There's no speech on them, and there is no Zoom facility on them. So that's a challenge.
I've got to say, Nick, now this is so bad at this time, especially over here in the UK. I mean, there isn't a great amount of choice from what box you're going to use here. So the fact that there is no accessibility in the actual box itself, I mean, there must be some reason for that, surely. I'm sure that one of the big organisations like ourselves have been in contact with Sky about this.
Well, RNIB has, yeah, and RNIB are in ongoing conversations about it. I think it's the time. The problem is it's the time it takes to get to that point, to get the box to fruition. Because these boxes, if you think about it, you know, I got my Sky box and I moved into my house, and that was about 4 years ago. And this is the first time I'll ever have been updating it. So they're not commonly updated.
No, maybe not the boxes themselves, but surely the software. I mean, all these boxes are now basically is a CPU and some storage of some sort with some sort of output for the video. I mean, it all comes down to the software. Surely at this day and age, the software should be, you know, how many times do they update the software? Is it just not an issue? Is it just not a priority?
I can't speak for Sky, but what I will say is that I think with the new boxes, there's probably more opportunity than there has been before, because the system that they've been using for a long time is fairly outdated. I mean, it's an outdated model. They've been using it for a long time. These new boxes, you know, are a bit more internet-based, and certainly Sky seems to be moving towards an internet-based approach. I mean, we heard recently that in 2018 they're not going to be using dishes anymore. That's the aim, is to get rid of dishes
and just go down the
internet. You know, almost like what Virgin do with cable. So who knows? That may change the whole thing. And if it becomes an internet box, then we'd like to think that at some point they'll be able to roll accessibility software onto them. I will say they have put some accessibility functions in, and I'll be nice about it. They've put some in. What that is effectively bold text.
Yeah. Look, Steve, I've got to say, look, you're being very fair and unbiased about it all, but I think there comes a stage where we've, personally speaking, on my own opinions here, that we can't keep saying, you know, oh, well, you've got to give them time. We'll give them time, give them time. I think there's a point where you've got to say, okay, you've had your time. This should be accessible to us.
Yeah. Well, I don't disagree. And, you know, I'm quite loud about this stuff because I want to use it as well. You know, that's the thing. You know, this is for all of us who listen to these podcasts and, you know, you hear us moan about this every week. It's so true. You know, I want to be able to catch up with television and watch television in my bed without having to squint at a screen to find out what's on or find my way through an app because it's the easiest way to do it. I want to do it like everybody else.
Yes.
I want access to easier access to audio description, on demand and all of that stuff, you know. So they really need to pull a finger out. It's 2016, 2017, actually, I should say. We're really beyond the point now with the amount of technology that's out there. There is another way around all this, of course. If you're looking for a solution, you're probably thinking, right, Stephen, stop worrying about it. What else is there? Well, there's Now TV. And one thing about Now TV that I like is it's on Apple TV, which is fully accessible. So you could get all your Sky programs through your Now TV box and do it that way.
Yeah, that's true.
That's another option. So, you know, Apple TV is a pretty good default for me for a lot of things because it is fully accessible.
But again, it's about just trying to find a workaround for something that we shouldn't have to find a workaround for. But yeah, I'd understand what you're saying. Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox now.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind. Listen, it's been good talking to you about this because, you know, a lot of things that I want to get off my chest and I've managed to do that. So thank you for listening to me bleat on about 5400 RPM drives and, you know, video cameras built into phones and also Sky Q and that app, but never mind.
It makes no difference. It's just a case of we've recorded your moaning this time rather than you just doing it in my ear.
Exactly. That's right. We just made everybody else listen to it instead. Listen, the Tech Talk show is on. You can catch it Tuesdays at 1 on RNIB Connect Radio. You can also get it on the podcast. If you've got a favourite podcast app, find it there. If it's not on it, tell us and we'll do our bit to get it on. And you can email us techtalk@rnib.org.uk. First of many geek outs. Hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. Sean, thanks for joining me.
Thanks a lot. Tech Talk. Geek
out. Geek out. Thanks for downloading the Tech Talk podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes, and the Apple Podcast app.